Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 151.
This week on the podcast, Marco Rubio spends his first week on the campaign trail presenting diametrically opposed ideas on numerous subjects.
The Ted Cruz Super PAC trilogy teases a mythical tale of blockbuster proportions.
Why is Lindsey Graham still single? Fox News and Brain Trust Live discuss.
Hillary, Huma, and the whole Scooby Gang begin their storied road trip to rural Iowa with a burrito, a Liz Warren compliment, and a dream.
We're 91% closer to having a Chick-fil-A in the White House, thanks to Lindsey Graham.
And animals are literally falling from the sky. An in-depth analysis.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right.
So find us there. Follow us on Twitter. Do all the things.
Yep.
We're on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We're all the places.
Yeah, that's
we're
right.
In the places.
Yeah.
We're even on Instagram. We don't ever post on Instagram.
What no,
are
but,
we supposed to post
but
there?
Go. But
definitely follow us
maybe
there.
Maybe we had more followers.
Yeah, maybe we...
Maybe it's all your fault.
Maybe it's on you to fix this.
Right.
So we now, as we told you last week, we were going to be living in a country where Marco Rubio was running for president, and
right.
We're in it. This is it.
People are really getting into it. Like, we're really starting this thing now,
the season
basically.
Has begun.
It's going.
We have, like, a legitimate number of contenders now in the Republican primary.
That's right.
An exciting number. Because only right. The exciting people have entered so far.
Right.
No boring candidates are in yet. That's fine.
No.
I would say that they could stay out forever if I were me, which
yeah.
I am.
You are. So, you are no one else.
I'm no one else.
Other than you.
Other than me.
Never
so,
change.
So now we have a very exciting race going between Cruz, Paul, Rubio.
Yeah.
That's...
Boom.
That's it. That's
yeah.
Everyone. So...
That's right.
Marco Rubio this week was responsible for announcing what his campaign was going to be about and saying various things about his plans.
Yeah, vague things.
Vague things.
Except one very specific thing.
He had one specific plan that was...
Didn't go over well.
Well, it was not...
With anyone.
It wasn't a plan that used logic as its basis.
No, or math.
Or math.
Used fuzzy math.
It used fuzzy math.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans are famous for their fuzzy math.
That's right.
Marco Rubio just wants to fit in.
That's right. Yes.
He... Let us know what his tax plan is this time. It's
fuzzy
very
math.
Similar to his tax plan from last year,
yes.
Which was horribly regressive in the worst possible
yeah,
ways.
Yeah, exactly.
But
everybody hates it.
But this plan is somehow hated by all.
That's right.
Everyone is angry about it.
Yeah.
He thought he was addressing criticism by making it more drastic. So basically, he starts with his tax plan last year that looks very much like the Bush tax cuts.
Right.
He's going to, you know, he's going to cut... He's going to cut in, you know, he's going to cut taxes for the top fifth and the bottom fifth, but when you actually do the math, the top fifth gets a much larger cut than the
right,
bottom fifth, because that's how things work.
Right.
So they got a 2.8% cut in their taxes, whereas, or they were going to save 2.8%, whereas the bottom, you know, fifth were going to save like $79 a year or
but
something
But a lot
like
of Republicans
that.
Were mad that that top tax rate didn't come down further.
Right.
Because it's down to 35%, and George Bush's tax cut was at 36%, but, like, also they want it to
they
be,
feel
like...
we can do better.
They'd prefer it to be 0%,
right.
So, like, that wasn't enough,
well,
obviously.
And most importantly, they want to get rid of all of the ways in which the rich actually get taxed, which
right.
is not on their income, it's on their capital gains.
Capital gains, right.
So, he was like, fine, I've got you guys, I can
sure.
deal with this.
Let's get rid of that.
Let's get rid of that, too.
Yeah.
So, his new plan promises to eliminate taxes on capital gains, on dividends, on interest, and on inherited estates.
Yep.
So that's all the things that rich people have their wealth in.
Right. That's where you that's where you get the money from.
That's where you get the money from in the taxes from the wealthy people.
Right.
It's not from their yearly income.
No.
And then he was going to create another refund for low-income earners as well, but it basically added trillions of dollars to the losses that his original plan already was going to... I think the original plan would have involved something like $2.5 trillion in loss
right.
for the Treasury. This added trillions more to that. So he really just
perfect.
Went for it.
Yeah.
They have an interesting thing brewing right now in the Republican Party, though. Because, oh, by the way, he was going to make sure that Social Security doesn't get cut. He wants to increase defense spending.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to do all the things Republicans want to do
yeah.
just without any... money.
Right, exactly.
Somehow.
Well, this is the thing. I loved that in the very first episode of Veep, which
is
was
a genius
hilarious.
Show that if you haven't watched yet.
But there's that
it.
Whole conversation that she's having because they are trying to get this like family first thing like
yes.
passed in the budget, but they also are like trying to, you know, not cut anything basically. And she
they
like
have
goes
the
on she goes on this long thing about, you know, of course we can do two things that
right.
you absolutely,
that are absolutely
shouldn't
contradictory.
Get contradictory to each other.
Exactly.
Just like very matter-of-factly declares that you can.
Yeah.
And that's sort of like what
that's what he's doing here.
That's what he's getting
he,
at here.
He of course believes that you can cut all taxes for all people and then also require a constitutional amendment to require a balanced budget every year.
Right.
Increase the defense budget
and
make no
cut,
cuts to Social
make no
Security.
Cuts to anything.
That's That's, of course, mathematically possible, also, unless you're a mathematician.
Right, he also believes in unicorns.
Yes, too. Exactly.
He eliminated the unicorn tax in this tax plan.
Someone actually, had to finally get too. To that. Yeah. It was getting out of hand.
Yeah.
All those tax unicorns running around.
Yeah.
In debt to the IRS. The evil IRS.
That's right.
Their unicorn hatred.
Yeah.
But so in any case, this was interesting because it brought out two factions of the Republican Party that are currently at war. One is the supply-siders who are starting to feel like maybe just cutting taxes for the wealthy is not a long-term strategy for the Republicans.
Huh, interesting.
Because there's just not that many voters in that tax bracket.
Not
there's
enough.
A lot of money in that tax bracket, but that's not where the votes come from.
Right.
So they're starting to be concerned that the Republicans really need to make a case for the middle class.
That's where the people who buy the votes come from.
Yes, exactly. Right. The sellers of the votes, however, need to be sold on in some way.
Yeah.
And then there's like this sort of far right wing of his party that just wants to eliminate all taxes for the wealthy because they still believe trickle down economics works despite years of evidence to the contrary.
Right. We're into year 30 something of proof positive that's not working out.
We're into year 100 of proof positive because it didn't work in 1929 and it's not working now.
But of our most recent period.
Yes, right.
Right, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, we've been on this rodeo.
Yeah.
We've been to this rodeo before.
That's right.
It's never going to work. It doesn't work. And no. Math is already obviously not his strong suit, but even the math challenged members of his own party are curious as to how this is a mathematically possible plan. The answer is it's not. He also has some logically impossible views on gay marriage.
Yeah. Well, all of the Republicans are going to have a similarly illogical view on gay marriage because, first off, by this summer, we're going to be in a world where everyone can be gay married. Because that's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
And they're also in a world where, you know...
People want that.
People are okay with that.
People are fine with that.
Right. So he... But... The people who don't want that...
Really don't want it.
Really don't want it. And they are also the people who are going to pick the Republican presidential candidate.
Right, that's true.
So that is like...
A very small faction of the country is responsible for this decision.
It's some real triangulation that has to go on here. And he made his first attempt at it, and it doesn't make any sense.
No. I think it's going to be a while of them shifting around to figure out how they can make sense and have an opinion.
Yeah.
It may never happen. I don't know.
He claims that he's not against same-sex marriage... But then also in the same breath claimed that the definition of the institution of marriage should be between one man and one woman. So he's okay with gay marriage.
As long as it's not marriage.
As long as it's... Right, exactly. As long as it's between one man and one woman.
Right. Which gay marriage is fine if one of the people getting married is female and one is male. That's fine.
Right. If one of them is gay, then that's okay.
Right.
They just have to be of opposing genders.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. That's... A long-standing Republican view on gay marriage. That's...
It's like the gay marriage that Michelle Bachmann is currently
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
Right? That's fine.
If we outlawed gay marriage, Michelle Bachmann's marriage would be invalidated.
No. That's right.
Uh-huh. That's not fair to her.
It's not.
She wants to be married to a gay man. That's her thing. That's fine.
Her right.
That's her right as an American.
As a woman and him being a man.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right. That's their right as people of opposing genders.
He also said that he doesn't believe same-sex marriage is a constitutional right.
It's fine if states figure it out for themselves.
That's what he's really wanting.
Right. Which is a popular thing that Republicans like to say because it's a good way to make everyone happy because crazy mouth breathers live in states that won't pass these
laws.
Right,
exactly. Then Mississippi can carry on
not having gay marriage. And California can go on having it. And everyone can win to the degree that you can win in a country where people's rights still aren't protected federally. Right. But that's not the country we want to live in.
No, it's not.
That's not it. And here's the thing. There are still gay people in Mississippi. There shouldn't be, but there are.
No.
There are gay people everywhere.
Do better.
That's right. Yeah, if you're gay in Mississippi, we could have a side chat about that. But
that's right.
But my point is that there's a reason that we have rights that are protected at a federal level, and it's so that stupid people in Mississippi can't curtail your rights as a Mississippian who happens to be gay.
Right.
So, sorry, Marco Rubio. Yeah. But he's also the other issue of the day that they're triangulating on quite a bit. Is climate change. And he has a history of triangulating on climate change, as do a couple of the Republican nominees at this moment, the contestants at this moment. But he delivered this like hilariously like meandery statement on climate change recently, which I'm just going to read because I feel like I can't paraphrase this. It's too meandery. Here it is. I believe the climate is changing because there's never been a moment when the climate is not changing.
Mm.
Interesting. The question is, what percentage of that, or what is due to human activity? If we do the things they want us to do, cap and trade, you name it, how much will that change the pace of climate change versus how much will it cost our economy? Scientists can't tell us what impact it would have on reversing these changes, but I can tell you with certainty it would have a devastating impact on our economy.
Ah, sure.
Let's do nothing to protect the economy.
That's right.
The economy is more important than the future.
Than Earth.
Let's admit that right now.
Yeah.
Who cares about Earth when you have an economy, a thing that Brent and I don't believe exists?
Right. Well, and also, I don't trust Republicans to tell me what will and will not affect the economy.
Correctly
because
or incorrectly.
Obamacare was supposed to basically send our country, crashing down and just, eliminate all jobs for all people and everything.
You know who's going to create a lot of jobs? Going to war. That worked well.
Yeah.
I mean, they historically have not been fully accurate on what is and is not good for the economy.
They don't know. Also, I love that the economy is never not changing. Yesterday it was cold.
Right.
Yeah. But today the sun came out.
The climate changes all the time.
Tomorrow it might rain.
No.
So
that's climate change for you guys.
That's right.
So how can we say that this is a problem when the climate's been changing every day for my entire life?
Yeah.
You know what? Southern California is the exception to that situation.
Yeah, pretty stable around here.
Climate didn't change one bit.
We don't have it here.
No, we don't have climate change here. No, we're just... Nope. We're living in a world free of consequences here.
That's right.
We don't have a water shortage and we don't have climate change.
Just about to say, yeah.
Meanwhile, Ted Cruz is really killing it at the fundraising game right now.
Big time.
With his three super PACs named Keep the Promise 1, Keep the Promise 2, and Keep the Promise 3.
Not a joke.
Not a joke. Those are the real names of his supposedly unrelated super PACs that are definitely not working together or colluding in any manner.
That's right.
He apparently is expected to collect $31 million by Friday, which is more than has ever been raised by similar groups for a single candidate in such a short period of time.
Yeah.
Basically, it's not legal for your super PACs to be colluding this way. They're supposed to all be independent.
Right.
There's a lot of ways around that. He has found those ways and is not even pretending to have not found those ways because he named them all the same thing.
Well, and this is the thing. Not only are they not supposed to be colluding, but they're not supposed to be colluding with the campaign. And I think that any
any
thinking
person not a complete idiot knows.
Sort of acknowledge that that's ridiculous.
Right. That's an impossibility.
Right. Exactly.
Also, though, nobody could confirm any of these figures. Like, Bloomberg reported it, but then they were like, this couldn't be confirmed, and sources declined to provide any financial documents to support the claim. So as far as we know, Ted Cruz has just made these numbers up.
Well, I was getting the emails.
Yeah.
Remember?
Oh, yeah.
He sent out the fundraising bomb or whatever.
That's
it was
right.
The money bomb.
The money bomb.
For some reason, I'm getting his emails.
Well,
the Ted Cruz emails.
I think this is because you weren't strong enough on the whole Julia Brownlee situation.
I know. I never sent that email. And I got another email from her today that was from... The email address was Julia's iPad, and there was no subject line. It was just regarding RE.
Come on.
That was it.
Come on.
Yeah.
Julia.
She probably sold my shit to Ted Cruz.
Oh, she definitely sold
it. She totally did.
She can't be trusted.
She's so hard up for fucking money.
Exactly. She's willing to sell your shit to anybody.
That's right.
If you're on a list right now.
Satan, potentially. Probably.
Yeah, sure.
God.
Or, I mean, Walmart. Any of the Satan.
Yeah.
The Satan representatives.
She's terrible.
She's terrible. But so Brent somehow has wound up. I sent a lot of angry tweets to Julie Brownlee's campaign on top of unsubscribing and angrily emailing them.
Yeah.
I feel like I have gotten off of their list somehow. They finally were like, I did get one email from them in the last few months and I was furious, as you might imagine.
Yeah.
So I sent them an email back that was less flattering than my normal emails to Democratic candidates. But I feel like you have to really they're the root of this problem, obviously. Because Brent is on every crazy email list right now.
Yeah.
You get emails from all these people. It's wild how you're on all the Republican email lists.
I know. I don't get it.
You're not the right person for
that. He sent out a money bomb, though.
Yes.
Not much I know. Isn't that what it was?
Yeah, it was something like that.
It was a bomb.
Very disturbing.
Yeah.
It was violent.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
It was. Indeed. Yeah.
Meanwhile, if you're wondering how sure Lindsey Graham is that he's going to run for president, he has a very specific number for
you.
He'll tell you. It's 91%.
That's right.
That's the exact number of percentage points that Lindsey Graham is positive he's running for president.
Mm-hmm.
He was on Fox News Sunday, as you do, and he was asked by Chris Wallace whether he's going to run, and he said that the decision depends on whether he can raise enough money, but then said that there's a 91% chance that he will.
Interesting.
And he then also went on to say things that were hilarious, such as, I think I've got a good message. I think I've been more right than wrong on foreign policy.
Well, he said this before, because you and I have talked about
it. Right, we already talked about this point.
Yeah,
this is especially right on Iran.
Yes. Oh, sure.
One of the most right points he's made.
Yes.
I've criticized the president for leading from behind, being weak and indecisive. I've been a problem solver in Washington.
Ah,
a classic problem solver, Lindsey Graham.
Yep.
And I think I've got something to offer the party in Washington. He's in Washington now. Hasn't offered much yet.
Nope.
Is certainly not someone who I think has been more right than wrong on foreign policy. Yeah. And I wouldn't call him a problem solver of the highest order.
No.
He says he's going to decide in May. But so far, even in his own state of South Carolina, he is pulling behind Scott Walker, Jeb Bush, and Ted Cruz. And 55% of South Carolina voters said they wouldn't vote for him.
How is he still getting reelected, by the way?
He still believes that he'll win, because they always come through for him in South Carolina.
Sure.
And they have for the last 500 years, so why not? No. Why would they change now?
Can you believe he's only 59, by the way? I would have thought he was at least...
400.
Yes, exactly.
No, I know. Lindsey Graham is... among the younger candidates who's running in...
I mean, he hangs around with John McCain all the time, and he doesn't...
He doesn't look like a different
so
age.
So different from John McCain.
It makes me think about John McCain in a different light.
Yeah.
I feel like when
he's running for re-election. Did we talk about that? Yeah. I can't remember.
Oh, no, we didn't talk about it, but I did hear about that.
It's happening.
It's... Because he's not... Why give up? Why give up? Right? What does retirement have to offer him?
Yeah, exactly.
He's a maverick. He wants to be in a place where his mavericky actions will have an impact.
That's right.
He wants to be in a place where he can poorly negotiate an immigration deal that won't work and then take credit for that somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he wants.
Yeah.
In any case, while on Fox News Sunday...
This is good.
Chris Wallace and Lindsey Graham got into a very uncomfortable discussion.
Yes.
So, Chris Wallace is going on, chatting about Lindsey Graham's life with him.
Yep.
And asks him why he never married.
Oh, boy.
Lindsey Graham, a bachelor, a permanent bachelor. He's never been married.
Right.
He's 59 years old or whatever.
A sort of closeted homosexual.
A closeted homosexual.
Many people
think. As many Southern men come across.
Sure.
But also, he strikes me as sort of vaguely asexual.
Well,
he's
that's
like
probably,
one of those people.
I feel like that's how you end up being 59 and never married.
Yeah. I mean, that or just your disagreeable person, which is fine. That's your right. You might be awful.
Maybe no one wants to marry Lindsey Graham. And it's not that Lindsey Graham doesn't want to marry other people.
No, it's who knows. But I get the feeling that he's just the kind of guy who like loves the excitement of Washington and like doesn't have the energy for...
Well, he can't see past his love of John McCain.
No, it's hard when you're in that kind of relationship to see the other options out there.
That's right. Yeah.
But so in any case, Chris Wallace is talking about how Lindsey Graham helped raise his sister because his parents died when he was in college.
Yeah.
And then suggests maybe that's why he never married. And then says, why can't... we can't put you on the psychiatrist couch, but those traumatic events, how did they shape your life? Can't put you on the psychiatrist couch. He would like to put him on a psychiatrist couch to really delve into why Lindsey Graham never married.
Yeah.
But, alas.
Yeah.
Fox News Sunday was not equipped with said
they
psychiatrist
weren't.
Couch. So
I'm
instead
sure,
they were left to just helplessly posit
I'm sure they
random
have,
thoughts.
I'm sure they have fake psychiatrists on there all the time, don't they?
I mean, they must. They have fake every other kind of scientist on there all the time. They have a scientist who can pretend to be a psychiatrist, by the way, on there.
Don't they have that one guy who's, what's his name, like Dr. Oh, what's his name? Oh, Keith Ablo or whatever?
Oh, that
Isn't that
guy.
The guy who
yes.
comes on and
yes.
like, is always saying like wacko
things? The bald
things?
Guy?
Yes.
Yes. They could have stuck him on Lindsey Graham. Let's really get down to the bottom of Lindsey Graham's commitment issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something I've always wanted to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the Hillary rollout...
That happened this week.
...is happening this week.
Yeah.
Now that we know she's in.
Right.
She... 2 minutes into her own campaign video, she's in.
That's right.
But she's... Nonetheless, as casually she may have chosen to state it, she's in. Yeah. So she's decided to take this random drive...
She went on a road trip.
She's going on a road trip to
Scooby
Iowa.
Bus.
In the Scooby bus. Yeah, in the
There's
Scooby.
Two of them, by the way. There's Scooby 1 and Scooby 2.
Oh, there's two of them.
Yeah, because there has to be, like, the follow the van, basically.
Tailgate, the tailors.
The
Secret Service.
Yeah, exactly.
The very people who can't be bothered to protect her from a crazy woman at a press conference and instead chose me as a human shield are following her in Scooby 2.
That's right.
While she and Huma Abedin ride in Scooby 1 and then stop at Chipotle's to just, like, hang out and eat some burritos.
That was the big news of last week.
Right.
Was
Hillary
the Chipotle
Clinton
stop.
Went to a Chipotle.
Right.
She didn't throw her weight around at the Chipotle. People were very impressed about that, as I don't...
But some people were, like, really sort of felt like that was kind of, like, a missed opportunity
to be a candidate.
People.
Because that's what you do when you're a candidate.
She went in there and she was, in her sunglasses and she, like, didn't...
Yeah, she was, not trying to be bothered.
Right.
I sent you that Onion article today about the woman from Iowa who's mad that every 4 years some dumb presidential candidate comes and ruins a breakfast.
I know.
Some of her fondest memories are of breakfast being ruined by presidential
candidates. And I sort of agree with this in the sense that this is a thing that she has problems with, where, she doesn't have these sort of, authentic moments. On the other hand, girl just trying to have lunch.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, she was trying to have a burrito bowl with guacamole, a chicken salad, and a blackberry Izzy.
Yeah.
Like you do.
Yeah. Also, but it was not the media's finest hour covering this either. Because It was like, we heard from the, you know, they figured out who the person was that served her. And they, you know, like, obviously we know exactly what it was that she ordered. They kept playing that it was surveillance video that, like, right. we even found out that she was there in the first place.
Right.
Like, we really sort of, like, went, like, wacko crazy Full town, big like, brother-y about the fact that she was, like, eating at Chipotle, which is, like...
I also have the sense that if she had gone in and been, tried to do a campaign stop... it would have come across as so inauthentic because who the fuck thought that Hillary Clinton would ever be in a Chipotle? And at least now if she does go to a Chipotle, we'll be like, yeah, she eats there.
Yeah, right.
Like if she had done that without prepping me for that thought, I would have been like, Hillary Clinton does not eat at Chipotle.
Did you see that woman? There was a woman on Fox News who was talking about this and said that she was doing Hispanic outreach.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
So dumb and hilarious.
Oh, that was genius. That was a genius point. But so in any case, she's on this weird road trip across the country.
Right. And she had a couple... She was going to Iowa.
She was heading...
Destination Iowa.
From Chappaqua to Iowa.
That's right.
The classic road trip every presidential candidate takes wealthy suburb to Iowa. And...
to go speak at community colleges.
Of course.
Yeah.
On the way, she's trying to make statements that make the left hate her less. Because that's her kind of goal of the week.
Right. And, you know, I was sort of like... sending you these comments as they were happening because I was like, oh look, oh look, oh look.
Right.
And I think you know, she was talking about getting rid of money in politics. Mm-hmm. And you know, the problem with her is that, like, first off, I get that while we live in the world that we live in, you have to raise a bunch of money,
right?
But no, she has sort of, you know, at the same time she is, you know, talking about wanting to get rid of money in politics, her campaign is announcing that they think that they might get somewhere in the neighborhood of like $2.5 billion or something. Yeah. They also have announced that they will take lobbyist money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Obama
did not in
2008. They have said that. So it's the authenticness problem that she has an issue with. Like, I sort of am fine with her saying some of the things that she's saying.
We do need to have people more accountable to the money that they raise in politics.
Right.
I'll give her that point.
Exactly.
But I will not believe that she is acting according to those principles.
Right, exactly. And that's where
she kind of loses a lot of the left on a lot of these issues.
Right, exactly.
And I think for her, the campaign financing issue is one of the biggest things that she will have to overcome with the left because it's what ties her to everything that they don't approve of.
Exactly.
You know, she can go on about education and I'll be like, I bet she does want education to be more accessible. I'll believe it.
Yep.
You know, I bet that she does want healthcare to be more accessible. I know she tried to get us healthcare reform once. She failed, but she tried. Like, when she talks about getting money out of politics, though, I just, like, immediately glaze over.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's not true.
Yeah.
She doesn't think that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if she does think it, it doesn't matter because her reality is such that she can't act according to those principles.
Yeah.
But so in any case, her aides have been trying to, like, speak to union leaders and, like, do all this outreach to the left. She's trying to compliment Elizabeth Warren to make it seem like they're people
buddies
that have anything in common. She is recruiting. She recruited Gary Gensler to be her campaign's chief financial officer, who is a former federal regulator. So people are speculating that she might be taking a tougher position on regulating financial firms. I don't buy it, but sure, people think that. Think what you think. Your thoughts. I don't care.
Yeah.
But you know, she agreed to accept donations from lobbyists. She is sort of, I think, rightfully being called into question for a lot of these things. Like, there's some things the whole country's evolved on. I get that she's evolved on gay marriage. I get that those are all things that, like, you know, 8 years ago you couldn't say, and now you can say, and whatever.
One thing I think
she could have said them 8 years ago.
I do too.
Perhaps, and didn't.
Yep.
But, you know, she's not a risk taker. Whatever.
Right.
These are things, though, that are not going to change.
She has also clarified her stance on driver's license for illegal immigrants.
Right,
because
that
remember,
was
that was a huge issue that, like, caught her up in one of the debates in 2008, where she sort of, like, didn't know what her answer was and then gave two answers within the span of about 10 minutes and everybody jumped on her for it. So, I don't know. I mean, I think that there were sort of, like, you know, missed opportunities in this sort of rollout here, but it seems like they at least sort of just, in principle, get what the issues were in 2008. I think it was interesting. I read something on Politico this morning that was sort of interesting about how, you know, in 2008, she knew that everybody was going to go after her, and she was right about that. And the Clintons sort of, like, are known for being combative with the press because the press often her 2008 campaign was sort of like, you know, she had her staff was basically sort of, like, chasing down whatever the Daily News story was against her, and sort of was like just combative in that sense, that like it was almost like the way they put it was like that it was a campaign sort of wrapped around like a, you know, a defense team basically. Yeah. And this time they are trying to
play a little more offense.
Maybe less offense on some level, just in the sense that they're sort of like, they're trying to play offense
in that they're trying to sort of predict a lot of the issues that are bound to come up before they
come up.
You know, they're trying to do outreach to the left before the left totally turns on them. That's smart. I think, in retrospect, as I saw these campaign rollouts start to happen, I started to think like, okay, maybe their announcement wasn't such a bad strategy because everyone was so hyped up about her announcing that maybe it was better to just sort of let it slip by because everyone knew she was running anyway and it's not like they were going to need the fundraising money and all of those things. Like, the problem that I think they're going to run into is when they stop being able to define their own direction, which is where they always run into problems.
Yeah.
Because at a certain point, it's all well and good to do outreach to the left during your road trip from Chappaqua to Iowa when you're at Chipotle's and such and riding around in Scooby.
Yeah.
But when you start to have to answer questions about your foreign policy positions in a world in which we're in negotiations with Iran, you are very closely tied to Israel, you know, are suddenly in the middle of this issue where, like, the hawkish people are doing a different thing than your own administration, that's when the uncomfortable questions are going to start to rise. And she's not going to have a primary person to ask her these questions, and so they're going to come up a little too late.
Right, I agree. Well, and the other thing that I think, and you and I have talked a lot about this, is that it sort of is funny that it seems like, you know, she's trying to be in it and also stay out of it at the same time, which is interesting. And the other thing from that Politico article, which I thought was funny, was somebody asked, like, what the best thing about the rollout was or something, and, like, one of her aides said, the Aaron Hernandez verdict.
Oh.
Because it literally just sucked up a bunch of cable news time, like, in the midst of when they would have been, like, talking about, like, the Hillary rollout. And it's sort of, like, I get that sort of, like, as a funny thing to say, but also, but like, it's, you have to be able to be, as Hillary Clinton, like, you have to be able to sort of deal with all of this.
Manage being in the news cycle.
Right, exactly. Because it's going to happen. It's going to be happening until November of 2016.
Right,
so,
and especially if you're the only candidate in your primary, which you basically are.
You can't bank your campaign on like
salacious, making the news.
Right, and salacious news stories happening. You know what I mean? So,
We'll see. I mean, we'll see. Some other funny things happen on her road trip, including her statement that she was ready to, quote, drink her way across Iowa.
Yeah.
Bowler's Journal noted that she discussed bowling this week and said, we need more bowling. Everybody needs to go bowling.
Yeah,
disagree.
You told me this earlier this week, and I was like, if she's going to drunkenly bowl her way across Iowa, I am ready for Hillary. I'm in. I can like her on Facebook, whatever you want me to do.
If there's one sport I don't need the president to be a huge fan of, it's a sport where you just stand around, drink, and fucking roll a ball
around. They have a bowling alley in the White House, though.
Well, that's all well and good when you have Sasha and Malia needing to have a birthday party.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, do I need the president to be a bowler?
No, you don't.
No, go do something that involves some cardio if you're the president.
Yeah.
You need the endorphins, you know? Anyway, she also took a photo with a 5-year-old boy in Iowa who was wearing a t-shirt that said, Iowa, wave the next time you fly over.
So good.
Probably got it at Radar.
Yeah,
Radar,
you got it at Radar.
Stories. Mm-hmm. A story that I now am intimately familiar with. Never been to Iowa or to the store,
no.
But just full of information about it. And then, finally, in North Carolina, there was an obituary that ran in the Concord Kannapolis Independent Tribune on Friday for 81-year-old Larry Darnell Upright, whose family requested that in lieu of flowers, his fans, that's not it.
No.
In lieu of flowers, people memorialize him by not voting for Hillary in 2016. They literally said, also the family respectfully asks that you do not vote for Hillary Clinton in 2016. RIP, granddaddy.
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
So that's happening.
Yep.
You know what else is happening?
Chris Christie.
In the dumpster.
Gonna be running for president. A man.
A man who his own state can't stand.
Yep.
And that's in a state where they have a high tolerance for tomfoolery.
That's right.
They're not looking for just, like, some vanilla, boring candidate.
They are currently not caring that their senior senator is under federal investigations right now.
No, that's the kind of state we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about that state.
Right.
The state where Menendez is under all sorts of ethics investigations, and they're just not trying to care at all.
No.
But what they are trying to care about is how Chris Christie, a man who can't sit in a chair, you know, which is
that's right.
a problem that other Republicans have had.
That's right.
We noted that we remember when Mitt Romney was having trouble sitting on stools, and it was because he doesn't drink, because he's a Mormon. Remember? Right. They blamed it on his lack of experience at bars. Chris Christie, a person who can't sit in an office chair, which I would say is a more concerning situation.
Yeah. Well, fat men and chairs on wheels
a bad combination.
It's not great.
In any case, 56% of New Jersey voters said they disapprove of the job he's doing. 55% of voters said his potential presidential campaign is keeping him from doing his job properly in New Jersey. And 65% said he wouldn't make a good president. So those are all people who are correct. And it's concerning to me that 45% of New Jersey thinks that he might as well go ahead.
Yeah.
There were some other smaller stories about 2016 in the news.
Yeah, and
we're
some good ones.
Bring you all of those because that's what we're doing the podcast for, is to bring you these stories.
Yeah.
Ben Carson, notorious selfie hater.
Yeah.
Is like thinks a selfie
dangerous.
Fucking...
I don't know why they're dangerous. I think they're dumb, too. I mean, with him on this.
Sure, but they're not dangerous.
Yeah.
But he sent a fucking selfie to a Washington Post reporter.
You can't do that.
If you hate selfies, hate them.
Yeah.
I currently agree that selfies aren't great, and I rarely post a selfie because of that.
That's right.
That's how you solve the selfie problem.
Yep.
But he just is saying inflammatory things about selfies and then hilariously, quote unquote, because remember when there were all those selfies going on at like CPAC or whatever?
Oh, yeah, right.
Like the Republicans are going wild with selfies and I'm not comfortable with it.
No.
Meanwhile, Marco Rubio has been having a lot of music related issues.
Oh, my God.
First of all, there's the band that he was using at his like rally stops
Axel
or whatever.
Ingrosso. Yeah.
Axel Ingrosso asked him to stop playing their music at his campaign stops.
But unlike Ted Cruz, he didn't feel the need to
pander to the country music fans
because he apparently really loves Nicki Minaj.
Oh God. Oh.
Yep. And EDM.
Ugh.
Which I don't believe at all. Although Axel Ingrosso is EDM and he's apparently playing them because I said to you, I was like, I don't trust that he even knows what the letters in EDM stand for.
No, but
maybe he does.
Maybe he does. Maybe he's a huge EDM
fan. The Nicki Minaj one is a real head scratcher.
It's uncomfortable to me that he felt comfortable. I mean, it's unpleasant to me that he felt comfortable mentioning that. If you're a secret, listen, I've listened to Nicki Minaj in my car before.
Sure.
You know, people are doing it.
Yeah.
She's a popular musician.
All
it's
of America
happening out there.
Loved Super Bass.
Of course. Of course.
I mean,
if I were running for president, I would have chosen a different rapper to align myself with.
Yes. Well, and the other thing,
she writes very suggestive lyrics.
She's suggestive. I mean, hello. She writes X-rated lyrics.
Yeah.
Especially when the right is always on Obama's case for loving Beyonce.
Yeah, right.
You know, because she says
who's
something.
Like the most wholesome fucking recording artist on the planet.
Yeah.
Like, this is dangerous. This is dangerous territory.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, Lindsey Graham announced that if he becomes president, he's going to build a Chick-fil-A drive-thru in the White House.
Oh, good.
That's not tacky at all.
No.
That's exactly what we're looking for in our nation's most prized mansion, house, place.
Yeah.
George Pataki, a person who people are talking about running for president, I still can't figure out why.
Yeah. No. No one knows. Well, he was at this New Hampshire event where there were like 19 Republicans who like may or may not be running for president. Basically,
it was like that
Steve King style event thing. There was a New Hampshire one of those going on this week where everybody sort of went. Basically, all they did was bash Hillary Clinton. I saw the highlights from it. It was like everybody just came up and had some sort of like laugh line about Hillary Clinton, none of which were funny.
He wouldn't announce whether he was running for president.
No.
He said he had to be careful because there were a lot of cameras here. He also went to a Chipotle this week.
Yeah,
so that's happening out there. Rand Paul he went on this jogging trip on the National Mall wearing a Live Free or Die t-shirt and taking selfies along the way.
Yeah.
It is a very uncomfortable selfie if you get a chance to take a look at it.
He's a little sweaty.
It's a little sweaty. It's too close.
It's way too close.
It's what a selfie stick was made for.
Is doing
all the things.
Things that you don't want it to.
He's wearing stupid sunglasses.
Yeah.
Like, it's, remember when, was it Paul Ryan who had those exercise photos, the cheesy exercise photos?
Yeah.
It felt a little close to that in my book.
Yeah.
It was like, those were like, he looked like he was 12 and they were like so cheesy and he was wearing a backwards baseball hat. And I felt like this was Rand Paul's echo of the Paul Ryan exercise photo debacle of 2008 or whatever it was.
He's a Bitcoin supporter.
And he's willing to accept those for his campaign. So if you have Bitcoins and you don't like Rhodes, this is your chance.
That's it.
He finally did
it.
He's
your candidate.
You finally have a candidate. Also, if you can only make campaign contributions in Bitcoins, you currently only have one choice for candidates.
That's
pretty sure. So, this is it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, moving on from 2016.
Yes.
Guess what might finally be happening in the Senate.
Oh my God, 6 months later, 5 months later, something like that?
All the months later.
Oh my God.
Loretta Lynch finally going to get a vote.
Well, the Democrats have been fed up with this. Obama
is
said that
real
it was
fed up.
He's real fed up. He was like, get this done. Harry Reid threatened that, like, he was basically going to force a vote. And actually, I saw a clip of somebody at a town hall asked Jeb Bush about this.
Ooh.
And he said, basically, that she should be allowed to
do
it. Like, he was like, presidents are afforded the right to put people on their team who agree with them. So if they are a qualified person, then they deserve to be voted on.
Yeah.
Basically. And that's the thing. Like, you can, as a Republican, disagree with Loretta Lynch, but they are not currently claiming that she's unqualified to do this job.
Everyone, in fact, has gone over out of their way to claim that she's qualified.
He's not going to. He's not going to nominate a Republican.
Like, that's attorney general candidate.
Not what happens when you are a Democrat who has won a presidential election.
No. And that's not what America wants to have happen.
Correct.
Oh. Ah, Brent just tried to knock down the whole studio.
Yikes.
God, that could have been a noise. It probably was a noise.
It probably was.
No, we're just going to let you listen to it. Sorry. Bye. Yeah. But so in any case, they are going to vote on Loretta Lynch. They're going to get, you know, they've been having that, the holdup is that anti-trafficking bill. Republicans said that they wouldn't vote on Loretta Lynch if they didn't vote on the anti-trafficking bill with the anti-abortion measures in it, which is, of course, two unrelated things that have nothing to do with anything.
Correct.
Finally, Bob Corker, for some reason, was all over the news talking about, because there's some other vote that he's trying to get through for, like, the Foreign Relations Committee or something like that. And so he finally was like, no, we're going to get this done this week.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We might have an attorney general, finally.
We might. Well, and they were talking about this on Meet the Press the other day, and they said the exact same thing that you and I have been saying for so long, is that no one can understand why, with their intense hatred of Eric Holder.
Why are they holding on?
Right? It's like, the longer that you don't vote on Loretta Lynch, the longer Eric Holder is the attorney general. Right. And he is, like, villain number one to you. Like, it just doesn't make it.
Choose your battles, guys.
It doesn't make any sense. None of it makes any sense. Yeah. Oh, boy. Anyway.
In other news, Senate's been busy this week.
They really have. Yeah, and they came to an agreement that the left doesn't really like.
No.
Because they are, one of the things that the Republicans and Obama have sort of decided that they can get on the same page on here is free trade.
Right.
And Obama has been working on this Trans-Pacific Partnership thing. The Democrats have been, like, really pissed that all of these, like, that everything has been happening in private. You know, nothing is, every, you know, Democrats obviously have issues
with free trade as a concept.
And so, you know, all of this sort of, like, backroom dealings, they have not loved. So he has been pushing to get this fast-tracked, sort of, like, once the deal is reached, like, to be, you know,
which is something that the other partners of this in this partnership want, because they don't want it to be changed by Congress.
Right.
Like, after if you fast track something, it can't be changed. So they like that. The Democrats are angry about it because then they can't make changes to it, which is understandable. But so they were pushing this week to fast track that.
Right.
So we might have a Trans-Pacific Partnership soon.
Yeah, we might. Well, and the thing about this is that it's so silly, and I don't even remember who this was, but I heard an interview with someone about this, because it was a Democrat who was, like, sort of in support of this, or, like, was at least in support of, like, seeing all the details or something like that, and they were sort of like, you know, well, I'm in favor of, you know, these free trade agreements if they, like, protect American jobs and, you know, don't drive down wages and don't blah, 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 and basically, like, listed off all of the things that we know free trade
does do to
American workers.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we have sort of proven that these are the things that result from free trade agreements like this.
I'm in favor of cutting taxes if nothing gets cut.
Exactly.
It's that line of reasoning.
Or if, yeah,
even
exactly.
Even fucking Chuck Schumer is against this, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a sign that...
Yeah.
And that's not a far-left issue.
But everyone... no, it's not. And everyone on the left is against this.
Yeah.
Like, vehemently. Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders have been, like, just
all over
basically,
the
I mean,
fucking
breathing
place.
Fire
yeah.
over this.
Yeah.
So...
But it's getting fast-tracked. Yay!
That's what they...
The Senate is up to things.
That's the yay! Yeah, exactly.
Action!
Yeah.
I should have known that as soon as they were up to things, they would be terrible things.
Yeah, exactly.
They better just get this Loretta Lynch thing dealt with before I really lose my patience with them.
Totally. Yeah.
Because my patience is all that's keeping them together.
That's right.
Meanwhile, this hilarious thing is happening in Florida.
And this is just too good to be true.
This is hilarious to be true. So, Rick Scott, governor of Florida, a person who doesn't know what he thinks about Medicare expansion, has been kind of changing his mind a lot about whether he wants to take the Obamacare right. expansion money.
Initially turned it down.
Turned it down. Then he was like, maybe I'll take it. Then he was like, never mind. He decided not to do it.
Yep.
Then on Thursday, he announced that he was going to sue the federal government for allegedly coercing Florida to expand Medicaid, because here's what happened.
Wait, come again?
Yeah. So apparently there was this policy called low income pools, LIP, which the Bush Cheney administration thought of in 2006. Yeah. That was a pilot program for Medicare that provided hospitals with funds to treat the uninsured, and Florida was getting money through that program. Not surprisingly, the Affordable Care Act made that sort of irrelevant because you could expand Medicare with federal money through that program. So they're phasing out.
Just by saying yes.
Just by saying yes. So they're phasing out the low-income pools. Rick Scott was not having it.
Right.
What he wants is to have the money but not have accepted Obamacare.
Correct.
So he's furious
that
they're taking away...
He wants the low-income pool money, which doesn't exist any longer,
right. but
instead of the Medicaid money from Obamacare.
Now, these are all dollars... that can be used towards healthcare.
Correct.
So these are just money that are the same money.
But only one but comes only one from of them, the boogeyman
exactly.
of Obamacare.
Only one of them is attached to Obamacare.
Right.
So he's decided...
He doesn't want that kind of money.
No.
He wants the different kind of money. Right.
He wants the different American dollars.
That's right. He wants the George Bush money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he is suing the federal government for supposedly coercing Florida... into accepting Obamacare money
by removing the
redundant money that is not necessary anymore because of the Obamacare Medicaid
money.
Expansion.
Correct. Yikes.
That's a thing that's happening in Florida.
The hypocrisy
even the Republican
there...
leader of the Florida Senate was like, well, this is bonkers.
I know.
It doesn't make any sense. It's like all political theater.
Totally.
It ultimately goes to show that Rick Scott wants Medicaid money.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. Like, the only thing that we have learned from this is that he really wants that Obamacare money so bad. Like, he's just dying to have it.
Yeah. Well,
and it's just trying to figure out any insane option.
He lives in a state with 1 trillion old people.
Yeah, old people.
That's a state filled with old people.
Yeah, he needs the money. He needs the money.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just trying to figure out how to get it without actually having to take it.
Exactly. This is a state where you have to accept money for old people.
That's right.
That's what you have to do in Florida.
Yeah.
Sorry about it, Rick Scott.
Yep.
That's how the dice rolls, or whatever the saying
cookie
is.
Cookie crumbles.
Cookie crumbles. That's what I meant.
Sure.
I don't know how the dice rolls. That's not a thing you can predict.
No.
That's the wrong saying.
No.
But that is how the cookie crumbles.
That's right.
And the way that the cookie crumbles is that if you want Medicaid money, you have to accept Medicaid
money.
You
just have to ask for it.
Yeah.
That's all.
They're literally giving it out.
It's there for you.
They're literally giving that shit away.
Right. Yeah.
That's a free thing the federal government is giving away.
But I can sort of, I mean, on just politically, I get why he doesn't want to take it. Because even so, you know, at that New Hampshire event that was going on this weekend, one of the people who was speaking there was John Kasich, who is the governor of Ohio.
Yes.
And he took it.
Right.
And he has just been getting fucking flogged by the right. For it.
Well, he
and
was like
he,
one
I mean,
of those
like
right
a,
dream team people. He busted all the unions in Ohio. He was, you know, up there with Scott Walker, and then he took the money.
Right, and now he's like.
But in a similar situation, he's in a swing state.
He's no longer a legitimate Republican for having done so.
And he's in a similar kind of state in that he's in a state that has a lot of Democrats, that has a working class population that needs the money. That has a lot of old people.
Probably.
I mean, Ohio?
It's a big state. It's got to.
Tons of old people in Ohio. Certainly old people I know of are in Ohio.
Yeah.
Anyone that's in my family that lives in Ohio is old. So there's that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is like the sort of hilarious wrangling of that is going to at some point make the case for Obamacare more strongly than the Democrats are making it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is a logical fallacy right here.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't follow this reasoning. But
no.
All that you can learn from it is that Rick Scott really wants Medicaid money.
Yep.
That's it. So, there it is. In any case, there was a big walkout this week by mostly, I think, fast food workers,
mostly,
but other low-wage workers in Atlanta and Boston and New York and L.A. and, like, 200 other cities.
And we've had these before, but this is the biggest one ever in
60,000 people,
yeah,
I think
it was the biggest nationwide protest that we've ever had, right?
Yeah.
Or for wages,
yeah.
Anyway,
it was a thing in favor of a $15 an hour
minimum wage, right?
The current federal minimum wage is still $7.25. If you
Yikes.
Were wondering, that is less than half of $15.
Correct,
mathematically speaking.
That's right.
In terms of truthiness, I don't know what the math is there. But
no, it's the same.
It's the same.
It's the same math.
It's the same math.
Yeah.
But it was big, and it was exciting, and hopefully this... I'm very excited to see the minimum wage talk advance from being a $10 an hour discussion to a $15 an hour discussion.
I totally agree.
This is what negotiating is, guys. Ask for $300 an hour and see where you get.
Well, and that's the thing, too, because, you know, it gives me pause even when states are passing minimum wage increases and they're supposed to, you know, they sort of gradually go up and it's sort of like by 2017, it'll be like 10.25 right. or whatever. But it's like if the minimum wage was keeping up with inflation, like it would be, what is it? Something like $22
or something like that. Like or like, hour. You know,
that's sort of like one of Elizabeth Warren's lines that she's always peddling at things. And I think it's real.
No, she knows math.
She knows math. But you know, it's like, don't ask for 10, like, because you also can't live on that
either. Don't be reasonable about what you can expect. Ask for what you need or more and
also,
see what you can get.
What is fearful to me of that is once you ask for 10 and then it has been 7.25, then nobody thinks they have to raise it for like another 100 years basically, which is like not accurate.
And
like,
$15 an hour is feasible. It's happening in cities,
yeah.
And it's no one has died.
And states are raising it. They're not raising it to that high.
But I mean, this is a thing that people have shown can be feasible. It doesn't destroy the economy. It doesn't kill jobs.
No.
You know, you can still afford to serve someone a McDonald's hamburger if you're paying your workers $15 an hour.
Right.
Like, these are all things that are true. So there's no reason to try to ask for what's, you know, what seems likely or what seems reasonable given the context.
Go big.
Go big. Go big or go home.
That's right.
It's the one. The left has never been that great at this.
No.
So, but anyway, I'm very excited to see this conversation moving this way. Yeah. I'm very excited that SeaTac just went and fucking did this because that totally changed the conversation. And that's like a little town that has nothing to do with anything and has nothing but an airport in it.
Right.
But that is when all of this discussion about 15 started.
Yeah.
Because remember when that happened and I was like, 15?
15.
Jesus Christ, those people really went for it.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't sound crazy to me anymore.
No.
So good on them. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just said a Brent line right there. I'm saying things like good on them. I'm getting so folksy. Uh-huh. Gotta stop hanging out with people from Iowa. In any case, in other news, the U.S. dropped Cuba from the list of state sponsors of terrorism.
Yeah.
Finally.
I know. Come on.
It was a little overblown for years. And finally, the Obama administration was like, they don't meet the criteria for this list.
No.
Which is a list that includes countries like North Korea and a bunch of other places.
I think it's a pretty short list, right?
I think those are the only countries. Iraq, South Yemen, and Libya.
Right. Iran, not Iraq. Right?
Iraq.
Oh, right. Iraq. Right. Sorry.
Oh, yes. No. These are the ones that have been
dropped. Right. I think these are the only...
We're not reading this article correctly, guys.
No, that's okay. I think the only ones
Iran, Syria, and Sudan.
Are the only ones.
Are the ones that are still on it. So we live in a world in which North Korea is not on the list of state sponsors of terrorism, but Cuba still was.
Right.
So think about that.
Yeah.
But they also, Obama and Raul Castro had a face-to-face meeting in Panama this week.
Yeah,
which
was
their first formal meeting.
Yeah.
And that was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they probably can get along.
Sure, why not?
The Castros are nice people, I think.
Yeah.
Seem like a nice family.
Yeah.
Marco Rubio's pissed.
Well, obviously.
I bet Bob Menendez is pissed, but he can go screw himself because he's embroiled in his own scandal right now.
Yeah. He's got...
He's his own sponsor of a certain kind of terrorism, terrorism.
Ethics terrorism, yep.
So mm-hmm. he can deal with that.
Yeah.
And they were all... They didn't get put on the list till 1982, which is interesting.
I'm surprised.
It was quote, because the White House described effort that they had undertaken efforts to, quote, promote armed revolution by organizations that use terrorism. It was about them supporting other revolutions in other countries. But in any case, it had been long enough.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back at the White House, talking about terrorism.
Right. People are really trying to get into the White House. There was another fence jumper, too. Did you know that?
There was another fence jumper. There was someone who shot themselves in front of the White House. That's chaotic.
Yeah.
There was some random drone that appeared in the White House. And then a guy in a gyrocopter.
A post office worker from
Florida, of course, landed in the White House lawn.
Yeah, it was like this gyrocopter thing or whatever.
Brent and I don't know what that is.
No, have you seen the pictures of it? It's
of
this crazy thing. It's like this tiny little sort of like
Oh my god, is
thing
it like an Inspector
like,
Gadget?
Yes.
Like, oh my god, really?
Yes.
Those are real?
Apparently.
I want one of those immediately.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
I mean, I'm not going to go into the White House with that because I don't have that kind of interest.
No.
He was there to draw attention to the issue of campaign finance reform.
Which is, that's what's so hilarious about this whole thing. Because it's sort of like...
What was his plan post-landing in the White House lawn?
Like, you can't do something that, like, wacko crazy and then expect the conversation to be about campaign finance reform.
No,
that's not the story that you've created. The story that you've created is flying a freaking helicopter into the White House lawn.
Doug Hughes, age 61, from Ruskin, Florida, not a PR maven.
No, that's... He's not.
In any case, he took off from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and flew 65 miles in his gyrocopter.
Yep.
And then landed at the Capitol.
Yep. Anyway, so fail there. He got immediately taken into custody. Yeah. Nothing happened other than...
Oh, it was not at the White House. It was at the Capitol.
Oh, the Capitol. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Still.
Whatever.
Places that you shouldn't be flying gyrocopters
into. No fly zones.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
But so, in any case, this has been a chaotic week. Over in Washington, a guy shot himself in front of the Capitol, as we said earlier. There was another jumper. It's like
a
game of chicken over there with incompetent Secret Service chasing a bunch of people who are just desperate to fly Inspector Gadget machines.
That's right.
To the in any case, if you're wondering what Ann Coulter's plan is,
right? The Republicans, Ann Coulter, Fox News, they have a plan to take back the White House in 2016.
Yes, it's a great one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
We've thought of it before.
Yeah. It was...
It didn't go over well the first time, but they have high hopes.
Yeah. It could work this time.
Why don't we bring back literacy tests, guys?
Oh, I see. Sure. Yes.
Let's make sure that...
Literacy tests, poll taxes. Like, let's get back to all of that.
Let's make sure that no one who's not white can vote.
Right. Here's the thing about this. The state of a lot of people who are voting for Republicans right now...
Would not pass this test.
I'm not convinced this would turn
benefit
out...
Benefit them.
How she wants it
yeah,
to.
Yeah. You want to know who are literate? Democratic voters.
That's right.
Those people can read.
College educated. High school or educated
not.
Or not.
Any of the people who are voting for Democrats likely are readers of some
it's
regard.
The toothless mouth breeding people, you know, from.
Right. They're the ones who don't know who the vice president is. And they're the ones who can't pass a literacy test.
That's right.
This would take a turn, I feel like, in this world.
Right.
I.
You know what? I almost want to go for it just so they could learn a lesson. Because I don't think they know.
No. Well,
they obviously don't.
Their idea, I think their implication is that it would stop all English speakers, non-English speakers.
Correct.
But that is not, those are not the only people who get discouraged from voting when you have a literacy test.
Correct.
Non-English readers come in many shapes, sizes, and ethnic backgrounds. And one of those is American people who can't read.
That's right.
Those people are not voting for Democrats.
No.
So this is maybe not a great plan.
Yeah.
But of course, this is something that Ann Coulter would think was a genius opportunity.
It's also something that you can't do.
It's something that's not legal.
Correct.
In the law sense.
No.
But that's never stopped her before from suggesting something.
No.
So that's, she's just going back to the classics.
But see, I think what we can learn from Ann Coulter, as we just sort of like talked about, the things that Democrats are not good at, Ann Coulter goes big.
That's true.
Okay?
So true.
Ann Coulter has bold ideas.
She doesn't shy away from the bold ideas at all.
She really... Everything is on the table
That's
with Ann
right.
Coulter. Okay?
Yeah.
A literacy test? Let's do
Let's do it.
I mean,
am I afraid of sounding like a horrible racist? No.
No.
Not me.
Mm-mm.
Not I.
Bless her.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's... Okay. One area in which...
Yikes.
I don't think anyone should be going big.
No.
Is in any sort of situation in which animals are falling from the sky.
I'm currently pulling out my hair right now. Like,
As
in a very
happened
literal
recently
sense.
In southern Norway...
Yeah.
When earthworms started raining down from the sky.
Not the first time this has happened either, by the way,
no,
people.
No, this article has an entire list of instances during which animals fell from the sky. And we have talked about some of these on the podcast.
Yeah.
We talked about the time, and this was a man-made animal raining situation.
Oh, right. It was
but there
the
was
rats,
a time
right?
that poison rats
poison
had to be
rats and guam.
To get rid of the tree snakes.
Tree snakes.
Horrifying.
It's so one of the like,
it's
greatest
the worst combination
of,
things in like, the world.
What?
There was a time somewhere in the South Pacific that, like, spiders were raining down from the sky or something.
Yes.
That was not good.
How do the animals get into the sky?
I don't know.
I don't like it at
There
all.
Were several so, instances in this article of fish raining
frog,
down from the sky. Frogs. Several frog plagues.
Frog.
That's... Don't do that. How did...
I don't...
Listen,
I
get...
I really
frogs
truly
jump.
Just don't understand.
I know that. But they don't jump that high.
No.
You can't... There's not ever been a situation in which all the frogs jumped into the sky and then fell down.
Fell down.
No.
Help me to know how this happens.
Don't. It's I bet it has something to do with science, and I just, like, don't understand enough about science.
But didn't
science.
It say that it left scientists baffled?
That a thing? So this was discovered by a biology teacher in southern Norway who was skiing in the mountains, as I guess you do in Norway, because that's what Norwegians do.
Sounds lovely.
And says he saw thousands of earthworms on the surface of the snow. First of all, where are the stories about puppies raining down from the sky?
I know. Raining animals, cats and dogs? Can, like, it actually do that?
Raining adorable animals from the sky. Raining adorable panda bears from the sky, even. Right. I would take that.
No, it's got to be, like, frogs and
spiders
and poison
and
rats.
Frogs and earthworms and poison rats. Those are all the worst things.
No.
It's like raining bees down from the sky.
It's like a who's who of things you don't want raining from the sky.
And this is problems that were, like, this rats thing was about snakes that were basically in the sky because they were tree snakes.
Yeah, they were in the tree.
That's, don't be there either. I don't like, I don't want animals in trees. I don't want them in the sky.
No.
I want to understand.
I don't want them anywhere above
from a
me.
Physics perspective.
I'm all in eyesight.
How they got into the sky and then rained down from the sky. Where did they come from to begin with?
It's
how did they
good.
Start?
It's not good.
It's not good at all.
No.
So in any case, I'm going to be avoiding southern Norway for the time being, but also Guam and a number of other places where animals are frequently raining on people. Mm-hmm.
And just all of Australia. And, this is like a general
rule. Well, just
rule.
As general rule. Anything there can kill you.
Right.
I know. I was talking to somebody about that recently because I have friends, parents of a friend of mine who recently came back from New Zealand, and they were talking about how, like, the reason they chose New Zealand is because they could do kind of like the whole country and, like, really see everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, was it not because Australia is just one giant death trap?
Killer country.
And when I say giant, I mean giant.
That's right.
It's both giant and only filled with things that can kill you.
Yep.
Even platypuses can kill you, apparently.
They can?
Apparently they're poisonous.
But how do they...
They're adorable. How did they get the poison?
But how do they get the poison into you?
I don't know. They have duck bills. It's so hard to know what's up with them. They're a very weird animal.
Oh, God.
And they're so cute.
I know. How can they be poisonous?
I think
like
then they're furry. You should be able to pet them and not worry about dying.
I agree.
In any case, stay away from animals in the sky or on the ground. And as far as I recommend, stay away from anyone that's not your puppy.
Yeah, that's right.
Any animal that's not your puppy.
Yep.
In final news...
Oh, boy.
Something great is happening in Iowa.
We go to Iowa. Lamoni.
Yes.
Wherever that is.
A place in Iowa.
Yeah. A chiropractor there, Dr. Charles Manuel.
Sure.
He's had his license pulled after being accused of trading services for sex with clients and performing exorcisms.
It's not good to trade your services for sex, ever. That's prostitution.
Right. That's right.
But what you really don't want is your chiropractor performing exorcisms on you. That's horrifying.
Who does he think he is? Bobby Jindal, right? For God's sake? Come on. I mean, you can't just go around performing exorcisms.
No. It's a rare story where I find something more disturbing than trading sex for services in the story.
I don't. Yeah, exactly.
But I immediately was like, that's not so bad.
Nope.
Sure, a chiropractor trading sex for services.
Yeah.
I get that.
Uh-huh.
What I don't want is my chiropractor ever performing an exorcism on me.
No.
Mm-mm. I don't want any person that I come in contact with doing that. So he turned in his license voluntarily and has agreed not to apply for reinstatement for 10 years. The community was shocked.
Shocked.
Where were these exorcism patients coming from, P.S.? If not the community. Where the fuck is Lamoni, Iowa? It's not near other parts of Iowa.
No, it's probably not. I don't know where it is.
No, well, you can't know that. That's,
yeah.
It's like... asking where a town on the moon is located. I mean, you're never going to find that answer.
No.
But I mean, it just, I feel like the community could have been the only people that knew. Like, they were, if anyone was going to know about this,
I bet there's a lot of conjecture going on right now.
A lot of conjecture.
Yeah.
A lot of conjecture about who was using those services.
Yep.
Sex and exorcism
sex.
Services.
Both. Yeah. I bet they were probably more concerned about the sex part.
In Lamoni, sure. Yeah. I would like to let the citizens of Lamoni know that the
That's
more concerning part of that story was definitely the exorcism.
That's right.
Don't worry about the sex part. People are trading sex for services everywhere.
It's the oldest job.
It's the oldest job, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exorcism has no place in your chiropractor's practice.
No.
And he's even, the people that he was sharing an office with didn't know about it either.
How was he doing
secret
exorcisms?
From
what I know of exorcisms,
they sound loud.
They sound loud. There's
and
a lot of
disruptive.
Things
going
on. There's demons and things that are shouting
like
you down.
Scream.
There's like devil voices and things coming out of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of loud reading of Bible verses and...
Sure.
You gotta turn the lights off and light candles and things.
Yeah.
I mean...
Things flicker, as far as I know.
Yeah.
I know a lot about exorcisms from television.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's
you
what
have
I know.
You cast things out. You have to cast the demons out. The demons aren't quiet.
No, demons are not quiet. If they were quiet demons, you wouldn't need to cast them out. They wouldn't be bothering you in the first place.
That's right.
That's just science. In any case, that's the news this week. We will be back next week when we'll report more 2016 exciting stories to
I'm
you.
Sure.
Most likely, because that's what we're in for now.
That's right.
That's us. That's
and maybe we'll have a new attorney general.
Oh, yeah. That would be exciting. The whole new world.
That's right.
Loretta Lynch's world.
That's right.
So stay tuned, and we will see you next week.
Bye. Bye.